Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Adrian.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? I have Matt Howell on Skype with us.
Hi.
Matt, this is Adrian Tin from Australia, our co-host. And we also have the Blog Talk Radio avatar in the room with us, so we are recording.
Excellent.
Sounds good. Hi, Adrian, and hi, Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cindy S. Solomon coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area on this beautiful afternoon in August. And I'm delighted to be on Skype with Matt Howell, who recently relocated to Boston, and our co-host Adrian Tran of BrainMate.
Hello, everybody. It's a bit nippy here. It's a Tuesday morning in Sydney. It's still winter.
How's your weather in Boston, Matt?
We've got the first day of rain since I arrived here. They tempted me and eased the transition with a bunch of San Diego summery days, and then rain came in. I don't know what that's about. We're on the Tech Corridor on the 128, just west of Boston, so 20-30 minutes outside in Needham.
Great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm still learning where everything is, and certainly learning how to pronounce the towns. I've gotten my West Coast culture has gotten me in trouble already a couple of times. Most of the ones have been towns in New Hampshire. There's Londonderry, and I saw that and pronounced it Londonderry. That got me in trouble.
That's hilarious. Sorry.
Yeah, thinking through it, I probably should have seen that one coming, but oh well.
Great. So today we're talking about Roadmap Product Management Talk, RODMGMTTALK. I suggest using TweetChat, which is at TWETCHAT.com, and because it lets you automatically put in the hashtag at the top of the page, PRODMGMTTALK, and then when you tweet, you don't have to worry about remembering to add the hashtag every time. So I see Larry McKeo is in the room, and I saw Nick also posted earlier today.
Yes, no, he's sitting next to me, sitting behind
me. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Cindy. Hi, guys.
How are you?
It's a small community.
Yeah, I had put up a new set of frequently asked questions in our website at www.productmanagementtalk.com regarding tweeting best practices and making suggestions for people on when they come into this Twitter chat, they should alert their followers so their followers know why suddenly they have an increase in tweet. They should add URLs to reference what they're tweeting about to either our transcript or our website. So if people want to join in, they can. And if they want to understand what they're tweeting about, they can get some context and background information about it. As well, remembering that whatever we tweet about in this conversation is a public conversation. Intentionally, we're intentionally on Twitter. We're intentionally broadcasting to extend the conversation to the widest audience possible of people who are product managers, who are product professionals, and who are internationally located. Put up 8 different best practices, but most are around being responsible for who your audience might be that are reading your tweet, as well as the possibility of your tweets being taken out of context. This is an issue I monitor and attend other Twitter talks, such as the public relations Twitter talk, the social media manners Twitter talk, the blog chat, and the customer service Twitter talk, where weekly they're discussing problems in the corporate world of people's social media tweet or postings being misconstrued and the fallout that occurs. So it's a serious issue. And the last thing I want is for anyone to get in trouble because they're participating in our talk. That's a total opposite of what this is all about. Hello?
So, Matt, where do you work?
I just started a new position, actually, with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers Games Division has a studio out here in Needham.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's going to be similar to what I was doing for Sony Online Entertainment, working on improving their platform and working out things related to new customer acquisition and customer conversion.
Right. What fun. So what are some of the games that you're working on?
Good try. I can't talk about those.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Fair enough.
I wish, but it's reasonable to imagine that Warner Brothers, as a company, owns a lot of IP to be familiar with, and certainly they've got games both announced and unannounced that would be related to that IP.
Yeah, what fun.
Yeah. Now, of course, sorry, growing up, I was the one child in our family that didn't play video games as a kid, so it's ironic that I would be the one in the gaming industry.
haven't always been in the gaming industry?
No, actually, I took a long path to get here. I started as a consultant working with small governments and local nonprofits in Arizona. And then I spent a period working on a platform for University of Phoenix and the Apollo Group out in Phoenix as well. And then I got into financial services. And when my career in financial services started to peak, I asked myself, you know, where do you go after financial services? And the answer was clearly into gaming.
Of course.
Yes. That's, I don't know where else you go from that. Financial services into gaming, and I've been there ever since.
Fantastic. And have you always been a product manager, or is this just new to your CV?
You know, I've been a product manager for, 6 or 7 years, I think, now. And before that, I actually came up as a senior software developer. So I started in more of a developer analyst role. And looking back, the role that I was at, I was doing, even though I had a senior software developer title, I was more of a product manager. It took the organization time to mature and understand there's this discipline that is product management, and we need somebody that owns that.
That's right. And it's great to see, you know, companies like Warner Brothers hiring and recognizing product management and realizing that they need it.
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of very young creative folks there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can all do together.
Excellent. And you were telling me earlier that it's new for them to have product management.
Yeah, this is I'll be first on my team, and so it's like even coming into organizations that have existing product management, I find that when you're filling either a new role or filling the shoes of somebody else, you know, there's always an adjustment period where you learn the politics and you help establish what the best way to work with you is. And adapt that to the team. So this is no different, even though they haven't had product managers. I just expect that there's going to be a little bit more of a handshake period between the existing teams and myself.
I've just found you on LinkedIn. You're the head bouncy castle attendant.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, for folks that, you know, for folks that don't understand what product management is, I figured that's just as descriptive.
If
I'm the guy running the bouncy castle and letting people onto the bouncy castle, then, you know, that's a pretty good analyst.
Yeah, I like it. Love it. I'm going to use that one.
Go for it. No, it's my gift to you. Run with it.
Thank you.
Embrace it.
Okay. But you have quite a Twitter following.
Picked up folks here and there over the last couple of months, and it's been interesting. I'm actually relatively new to Twitter. I'd say I've been seriously participating in the communities for maybe a little over 3 months.
Wow.
You know what actually brought a lot of the community to me was my work with Boxhawk, the previous company I was at, in between Sony and Warner Brothers.
Yep.
It's a social media-oriented aggregator of all your communication systems.
Yep.
And the marketing and support teams there were very forward thinking. So the product managers were all teams in the company were involved in the support via social media. And so as I was working on support tickets and as I was talking to folks, I was picking up connections there. And then I was also, you know, participating in tweet chats and meeting people through groups like this. And, you know, that's helped build a community pretty rapidly.
Well, I've seen your avatar around. It's a cute little avatar.
Yeah.
I like to think so.
I think that's key. I want to underline, said Matt, about participating in chat.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, you know, groups like this where you have a lot of feedback and a lot of participation, it's great not just to meet new followers, but so to get new opinions on complex topics very rapid.
Yep.
I look forward to it every week.
Excellent. Okay. So we have hit 4 o'clock on the dot.
And it's 9 a.m. Disney morning time.
Yeah, I am post.
Well, Adrian, it really is like almost the other side of the earth for you then, because it's we're in the early evening here, almost the opposite of the day.
Yes, and it's the start of the day for us.
Lovely. Now, is it Monday or Tuesday?
It's Tuesday. So we're ahead of you. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the only country that are ahead in terms of time is New Zealand. So they're 2 hours ahead of Sydney. So it will be 11 o'clock New Zealand time. So they lead the world, New Zealanders.
Wow.
Yeah, we live quite far from everybody else, but it's a nice part of the world.
Oh, I believe it.
You should come visit. Tell Warner Brothers to send you out.
Yeah. I don't know if they have any studios out there, but I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, I think they must do at in Queensland, in another state up north or from Sydney. Warner Brothers Studios, I think they do. So Larry's joining us this morning.
Yeah. Forward tweet that you recently joined Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. Is that okay?
That's great. Go for it.
All right. And I have to remember to read the tweets for our listening audience. And if you could help me do that. I have to actually was key to. We have to recognize as an audience everything we're doing online. Okay. Matt has 15 plus years experience in product development, design, and strategy in areas ranging from healthcare to gaming. He was previously a producer on the Sony Online Entertainment's platform team. And welcome to someone new at Sonny Johns. Welcome, Sonny Johns, if you're listening.
Tweet chat's actually really quickly this week.
I love tweet chat. Nice and simple.
It's been a love-hate relationship.
relationship for me. There's some weeks where it seems to be right on the spot and up, and then other week where you sit there in 5-10 minutes. Probably more Twitter though than tweet.
Yes, I think it's definitely what how busy Twitter is, and even to the point of what's going on in the world.
Or
you know, it occurs to me it's probably much more technical than that, because it's whoever is hosting and serving Twitter, if they're not opening up more pipeline quick enough, to put a non-technical term. Okay, so now a link, and I update that during the week, so this...
we've got a new person join us, Pete Dachenko.
I was thinking, you're so organized on putting together all this content across all these different tools. I'm always amazed at how you're able to keep track of the questions and the agenda for each week, and the resources, and keep everybody in line. It's juggling act.
She's a superwoman.
Yeah, well, you know, they're just skills for producing events, which is something that has always been part of other things that I've done. I've never been specifically an event producer, but I have begun to go to content management and event production digital workshops and seminars, which have been very helpful.
Belt them out. We've got a whole bunch of new people joining us this week. What fun.
Yeah. Okay, so time to go to the first question.
Larry, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
No, I'm speaking to Larry McKeo because I think he's listening to the radio chat.
Oh, right on.
Hi, Jen. Where to start in defining a roadmap for a new product? Question number one. That's a biggie.
A couple of these links are actually answers. So Stuart Rogers in the posting he talks about starting with the product vision before you can even do a roadmap.
Oh, yes. You need to be lot planning.
That's certainly true.
So, Matt, I haven't seen you tweet in a while. There you are. Okay.
I've had a couple up, and I've got another one I was getting ready to send, but I wanted to make sure the question one had actually hit.
Excellent. Where to start in defining a roadmap for a new product?
There we go. So I prepared a couple of answers ahead of time, and then I just realized...
I hear you now.
...prepared answers ready, and then I realized they were a little too long for Twitter, so I'll work on my counting characters a little better.
Okay, tweet chat that it tells you how many characters you have left.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have both doctors in the house.
Okay.
Welcome, Robert Kelly. He is a speaker coming up. He has a background in IT, and I actually met him online. Well, virtually I've met everyone online at this point. Okay, Q1, where to start in defining a roadmap for a new product? Robert Kelly is a project management professional. So he's going to be speaking, I think, in October about the difference between project management and
That should be a good one. I love those discussions. Very feisty.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that one. I've had great working relationships with project managers over the years, and they always bring really valuable insights to product management.
I asked, hi, Erica, if you're listening. So I don't know if what I call the marketing requirements document, which is the MRD, that is my document for everything surrounding the positioning of the product, the messaging, the content, everything about the product and the competitive space, the target audience. Matt, you're talking about a product roadmap actually before the MRD gets created. Am I correct?
No, actually, I made the, which is incorrect, that those documents were already in existence. Since a lot of my experiences with platform products, before an MRD even comes into play, a lot of times when you're building a platform that has holders that will be dependent on, you need to check with those folks and understand what their vision is for their own product.
Okay.
You guys still there?
Yeah, Erica tells me that, she's listening. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Erica. So what I was starting to say is that traditionally my experience has been with platform products that are not necessarily consumer-facing. So MRDs are important for a portion of that, but a lot of times we're building features that are going to be consumed by another either internal team or another close partner. And as a result of that, in conjunction with other requirements documents, I like to get a sense of what their roadmaps look like and make sure that we're in position to support the features that they're going to need. And a lot of times that will drive where your MRD is focused on. You're correct, and I totally agree on consumer products, making sure that you're starting with an MRD and that's driving the process down the line so you understand why you're building those features.
Excellent.
Hi, Jen. If you can hear us, tune in.
No, also, I like Nick's answer. I don't know if you saw that you need to identify where the product is today, where it wants to be in the future, or the vision. Along the same line, that might lead to an MRD or that might lead to further discussion.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yay.
He's happy that you agree with him. Yay, says Nick. Matt.
Yeah, so right on. I'm behind you, Nick.
Baltimore says to include the problem issue need being met. Yeah.
Yep.
You're suggesting that you start with the big picture of the product?
Yeah, in a service environment where you're building tools that will be consumed by other internal stakeholders, an MRD might not be necessary. But in for a consumer-focused product or a B2B product that's going to be consumed by another external party, certainly an MRD or even before that, a vision statement is going to be essential. Certainly, I think a vision statement is essential even for a platform as well.
Now, Erica asked the question, what if you're building a brand new product? Do you start with an MRD for a specific product or with a roadmap? Could you provide an opinion on that, Matt?
Yeah, I think a number of people have hit on this already. I think even before an MRD, you've got to consider a vision statement, but even before that, or else you might miss the mark.
Okay.
I guess even an MRD needs something to, or a measure determine whether you're successful.
So some people are saying the product vision is a mini MRD or an MRD precursor that crystallizes everything. That's a nice way to summarize it. Are there differences, different roadmap rules when you're talking services that are not platform product? Can you provide an answer to? Oh, there's lots of people around me at the moment. Are there? No, that's okay, Lisa. Are there different roadmap rules when you're talking services that are not product, not plat product, Matt?
Doctor's question?
Yes.
Yes.
Right on. And I would say absolutely. And I'll type this back to her. I think if you're building services, or the difference here between a service and a platform product is that a platform would be consumed by internal stakeholders or internal development teams, whereas a service might be consumed by external stakeholders, in which case you really want to do that market research before you start down the path of thinking about a roadmap or a development timeline.
So a platform product has internal stakeholders as customers. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say.
And Jen says, it doesn't matter what the product is, it all starts the business case that states the problem before you may have a clear product vision. Agree.
Okay. Oh, man. Sometimes I wish that I wish that there was just a couple more characters from Twitter.
I know. Definitely.
Yeah. I had a
GI doctor doesn't quite agree with what I paraphrased your answer to be. She says she humbly disagrees. All roadmaps have internal stakeholders or customers before they go external.
That's true.
I think we've missed the point. I think she's missed the flavor a little.
Okay. Yeah,
was she responding to my first response or my second?
You can
ask. Like in tweet chat, it looks like my bigger response hit just after what she said.
So she
may not have seen my response yet.
Yeah. And Nick says each business case and MRD will describe how the product affords the vision. The roadmap shows these steps with time. You too, what level of detail is essential for a productive roadmap?
Sure.
Defining the vision can relate to a number of objectives, especially business objectives, customer outcomes, competitive impact. And we're moving on to question two. What level of detail is essential for a productive roadmap?
So one point I wanted to make sure I shared is that in the last couple of years, I've started doing something a little bit different, which is making sure that roadmap deliverables or any document that might live without me present also contains some form of a calendar with events on it. Gaming industry or startup industry, oftentimes you're aligning development around an event or some kind of a partner commitment in the future. So I like to show some of those items on the roadmap as well. It's interesting that a feature is going to be delivered in this quarter or in this given month, but it's also interesting to know that if it moves out of that month, you're going to miss this key industry event.
So according to Matt, it's all important to add event, key industry event to the roadmap as well.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So I also think that in a complex environment where there is dependencies upon other either teams or other partners, it's also important to show those types of commitments. And that was a note that I was trying to fit in somewhere in those questions as well, is that one of the biggest threats or risks that I see to regularly to my roadmap is other products inside the same suite, where you plan some resource or you plan for some commitment, and then maybe it's not communicated properly or something changes in another product that cascades through.
Right, got it. So it's basically understanding one product. Oops.
According to Ford's had key industry events, show team commitments on the roadmap as well. Erica says you're using personas. You need clear view of archetype goals, needs. You need them immediately or long-term, which is what would be shown on the map, right?
I like Erica's suggestion of having personas in a roadmap as well. But I haven't traditionally done that, but I could see where there would be a lot of that. And oftentimes we end up digging documents with those persona definitions in other documents. So it might make sense to have those right there.
I guess I should tweet this it brings up the question, what does it look like? What does that roadmap look like to you? I generally envision it not as a mind map, but actually a linear progression of where the product is going to be at what point in time.
And definitely, you know, I think depending on your thought process, I think a lot of folks that gravitate around mind map solutions, either on paper or using they might start fleshing that out in a mind map.
Yeah.
As moving things around, but ultimately, I agree with you. I think it has to be a linear document. You're showing some level of linear progression.
I say that there's different levels of detail depending on the different audiences, and not everyone would be privy to seeing the same roadmap. Because if they didn't, I'm going to tweet that.
Sorry, you broke up on the last part. From what I gathered, you were saying that there might be different levels of detail that are distributed to different communities.
Yeah, which I think Jennifer Doctor was alluding to.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just saying, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's quite fast today, actually. Quite good.
Oh, yeah.
So, Erica wants to know, does the customer need long-term information on the roadmap or immediate?
Well, I think that ultimately depends on the customer, right?
Okay, depends on customer.
Did Erica hear us talking about the mind map?
She must have. So,
Erica, I'm going to have you call in next week.
I think everyone should call in.
Yeah, I have to figure out how that works.
My goodness, can you imagine? We'll be managing so many conversations plus Twitter.
We could totally try it.
I tweet back, since I know Erica's listening, I'll just mention, I use a mind map tool is usually with my own strategic items, the small pebbles or the large one I want to get done at some point in the next period. I store those aside as I'm building out the team's dependencies there in other products, and then I'll fit mine in. And that's usually the last, building out a tree of different period, a different functional area. It's a great way to visualize the complexity between different products in a suite or different products across different product managers on a team.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. From Jennifer Doctor, different audience equals different levels of deep. Product Camp Radio. Shall we move on to question 3?
Have we fleshed this out enough, Matt?
I think so, yeah. I think it's a good idea to move.
Okay, Q3, which we've kind of been talking about, what is the best format for managing and distributing a roadmap?
Oh, man, to me, this is a very loaded question. I know there's a lot of vendors, some may be on this or in this community, that sell product management and requirements management software. And in my experience, no matter how much we've tried to commit to those types of documents for final deliverables, we always end up resorting back to Excel. I think there's a number of reasons for that. One is when you talk about the defensive tools, you have to buy seats for everybody in the world who wants to look at it. And then, you know, another common one recently is that, especially for executives, Excel can be viewed on an iPad. I get that request more often than anything. Hey, can you put this on something I can, you know, either put it in a PDF or put it in a Word document or just put it in Excel so I can modify it and flip it back.
Okay, and there you go. Jennifer Doctor says again, how you present it has to do with who the audience is that's receiving it. Excellent.
Oh, I think my there we go. I was just waiting for Tweet Chat to update here.
Jennifer,
I think she's got some great suggestions, and I look forward to when she spoke. Couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Oh, Jennifer Doctor was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Her content was really good, and she actually, after the event, she actually reached out to me and had a couple of suggestions of where she knew I was moving and had some suggestions.
Oh, because she loves the Red Sox. So she must be familiar with Boston.
Hey, it comes with living on the coast, I think.
Yeah.
Red Sox and Patriots and Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, they need to sponsor. There you go. Beer and donut need to sponsor product management tool.
I'll ask them tomorrow morning when I go for my day recharge.
There you go.
And Jennifer's listening. So there you go.
Oh, hey. Looks like she's listening. No problem. I'm happy to give you a shout out.
Hi, PS Journal. Thanks for dropping in and hope to see you again. Welcome, Jamie from Minneapolis via Memphis. He must be at an airport. Great. How
That's
often
a great
should
idea.
You update your roadmap? Gosh, doesn't that depend on the nature of your product?
I think it's also different by industry.
And different by company as well.
Sure. There's definitely something to that. The expectations of the executive team and their personalities.
Yep.
You know, when you come across somebody who, I don't want to say micromanages, is very interested in the progression or investment, you know, they may want to have a touch base, you know, much more frequently. Because I think organizations with more mature product management and certain more mature project planning, they're able to kind of let loose a little more and wait a And this is question four, right?
Question four, how often should you update your roadmap? And bye, Nick. See you next week. And Jennifer says...
So I put out a tweet myself here, asking certainly for people's input, but I think quarterly is certainly obvious that if you're not at least examining or reviewing what you've got quarterly, but I think you might run into a problem.
That's so clever. Sorry.
In some industries, like in the entertainment industry, because advances come up very quickly and it's a competitive space, but I think sometimes there's a more frequent touch base needed.
Mind map tweets. I wonder if they heard us mentioning mind map.
They did.
Wow. There's a random one. That's great.
Well, I love mind map.
Definitely going to have them.
Mind map was the avenue for me to be able to communicate all the different things I had in my mind at one point, at any point in time.
You know, that's team by team or company by company, I change from using MS heavily to not. And it really depends on the thought process that I'm working with. And I've had managers that live and die sitting in mind maps and having those up in meetings. And then other folks look at them and their brain just doesn't work that way.
Right, because not everyone's visual.
Right, exactly. So you have to find other ways to deliver that same content. But, you know, I found myself doing mind maps, you know, secretly at home and then moving it into another document as a deliverable to people as well.
Yeah. Well, there are several now that will automatically, there are tools now that will allow you to present that information in a document form or even immediately into a website.
Oh, right? I haven't played with that. That might be the solution to my problem.
Yeah. The problem is they're sophisticated tools that take time to learn.
AlphaML, definitely driven by industry. For example, in financial services industry, would not need to update as frequently as quarterly. Interesting. Yes, I guess we all come from software.
Well, I worked in financial services for a number of years, and we definitely looked at the roadmap on a quarterly basis, specifically because of, it might depend on what area of financial services you're in, because of legislation in certain communities.
Mm-hmm.
If you're exposed to changes at a local community or a state level, different communities will regulate in different intervals, and so you have to keep an eye on that, especially for taxation, which is, you know, everybody's favorite topic.
Globally, taxation. We talk about it here, too.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Pain. Not all roadmaps should be changed and shared immediately. It's about knowing your timing of the audio. Great one, Jen.
Oh, I didn't see Saeed come in. Hi, Saeed.
Yes.
Welcome.
I did.
He came in a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw somebody retweet one of his tweets, but I haven't seen his.
No, I read one of his tweets, and he's here.
I see him, but I follow him, so he might not be being indexed if you're not seeing him that. So I'll talk to him afterwards about making sure Twitter is indexing him in the search.
No worries. I thought I was following him as well. Oh, you know what? One just showed up from him.
Good. We see you, Saeed.
He said, update your roadmap as often as needed. Cracking up at the time. Yeah, it's my favorite subject, Erica. We just pay too much of it in Australia. There you go. That's my gripe for the day.
Well, Adrian, we just had a tax-free weekend here in Boston. Got all our shopping.
That's such a great idea.
Do we still have the blue laws in Boston where things are not open on Sunday?
You know, that's a sore topic with me. I don't think that's true anymore, but I enjoy a beer every once in a while, and I didn't find out till we moved into our home in Needham that Needham is a dry town.
There.
But as far as I can tell, the liquor stores nearby are now open on Sunday.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, you could not cut your lawn on Sunday. You couldn't paint your house, and stores were not open on Sunday. It was one of the things I really enjoyed when I started moving west. There weren't those kinds of laws.
Exactly what do you mean by a dry town? Like, there's no alcohol.
You cannot buy alcohol.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
That's what I said. I'm glad I'm getting some support from somewhere. My family.
Oh my goodness. You'll get lots of support here.
Yeah, it wouldn't last. You know, in our house, it wouldn't last very long. But needless to say, I found a liquor store in the next town over, stocked up.
Oh my goodness, just not conceivable. There's a bottle shop down the road, in every suburb in Australia. There would be a bottle shop, a pub, a place selling alcohol.
Okay, should we move on to question five? Now that we've had some banter, all right. Okay, and question five is. What is the biggest challenge to integrating your roadmap with the rest of your company's strategy?
Ah, I like that one.
So
I cheated and mentioned some of this a little bit earlier, but the biggest challenge for me has been working in teams with other product managers, making sure that I'm as prepared as they are and that they're as prepared as I am going into reviews of the roadmap. Because very often I find disruptions come from two places. It's either other product managers or business. We have this opportunity with this partner and they're going to pay us X amount. We need to disrupt or change something here in the roadmap to compensate for that.
And Janie has answered you, Matt. He said, stability equals mature, predictable, not volatile. We deal in bank regulations. Used to be very stable, now very dynamic.
Oh, I agree then. It sounds like he's making my case for me that especially in bank regulations, now you don't know what you're going to face next month, especially with stimulus coming from the government and changes in policy.
Integrating your roadmap with the rest of your company's strategy.
Jennifer says, it's not about changing to meet other needs. It's that no two teams align at the same time with the same future. Indeed.
Oh, I really like that. That's very true. So Eric is asking whether when I was mentioning that the biz dev can be disruptive in terms of the sales team or whether that what's happening outside of my own control. I would say both. I was really talking more about dedicated business development when you have somebody out there that's looked at partnerships that can come up at any time. A lot of times when you're letting the partner drive the scope of that integration, they're coming back with their time frames and they have no visibility into your roadmap. So the post time frames that you end up receiving don't always gel. When you have a business development resource that's ready to just deal right then and put something on paper and move on to their next project, a lot of times there's a lot of pressure to move those dates.
Jen says, bright, shiny objects are the biggest impediment to roadmap integration.
I like that. My teams, we call that SOS or shiny outcome. I think it's a legitimate thing.
What is that referring to?
Distractions or impulse distractions. You see something shiny that looks pretty right then, you have to have it. It's instant gratification.
The feature.
As opposed to strategic alignment.
Right. So we didn't really talk about the purpose of roadmap. We just all assumed that it's necessary to have. But I think that would be key is to avoid feature creep.
Yes.
Distractions are the worst enemy. Seems to be a common theme.
I think the bright, shiny object comment may have touched a sensitive spot with some folks.
We're on the last question.
I think it might be a good idea to ask. You brought up a good point that we kind of skipped over the question of, is a product roadmap actually necessary? And it might be worth diving into that if we have a few minutes.
Now, Saeed's showing on my Twitter feed, but not on Tweet Chat. Why? I'll just retweet his stuff.
Okay, so I'm asking, I added a new Q6. Is a roadmap necessary?
And this should be interesting.
We assumed a roadmap is necessary. Is it? A product roadmap may not be necessary, but a statement of direction is. Then wouldn't a statement of direction be your product roadmap? Not necessarily. I'm answering it for you. It wouldn't look like a roadmap. It would be a statement. Okay. Putting feature creep. Thank you, Erica. Is one element of why to create, but the main reason is to align direction with business. Well, Polenko says, challenge, get tech teams to understand the business/value proposition and getting the business side to understand tech limitations capability, which I think would be his answer to why we need a roadmap. And without direction, we don't know where we're heading exactly. And Saeed says, the biggest challenge is having a clear and stable company strategy. Indeed, because the roadmap forwards that. Has to be aligned with that. Some companies change strategies too often. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Some companies don't have a strategy.
So I'm going to say, you know, my personal bias here is that, or at least for the products that I've worked on, a lot of times the development roadmap sets the cadence for all the other functional teams, not just development and not just quality assurance, but also things like promotion, your marketing activities, your partners and early adopters. It also drives what things you need to be talking to your influencers about early on so you can plan ahead. You can't talk about all topics all at the same time.
Yeah.
Larry says roadmap's necessary because it provides an artifact that is visible to everyone. Without that in place, you can adjust as needed. With that in place, sorry, you can adjust as needed. Without it, it's too fungible. I agree.
Is fungible a word?
Yeah.
No, I like it. It's cute.
I do like it. That's great.
Your own definition around that. So I think a roadmap is necessary because people always ask you in the company, what's going on? What should we do? And you need a plan.
But I didn't see anyone in there. So, okay. Now that I know what the source of that is.
You know, Jamie brought up a good point that we skipped over, which is a lot of times a roadmap is needed for capital, development capital to get investment.
Yeah.
That's my very hazy explanation. Oh,
and,
I like that.
You know, to take Jamie's point a little further, it's also required, especially for startups. If you're coming in, you're looking for seed investment, they're going to want to know, what are you going to do with their money?
Exactly.
Depends. I love it. Everything depends in product management. But also, you know, people need time to think.
You guys, Erica's my answer. Not only does it depend, but also beer.
Yes.
That is a running discussion in every talk, because that's the Aussies. Wait, that would be an Aussie answer. We don't need a roadmap. We need beer.
Oh, and that would work really well. I would be the most popular product manager in town. Lots of engineers would love me.
You have close proximity to one of my favorite beverages as well, which is Bundaberg Rum.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I am close to that. I didn't realize.
I'm a big fan of Bundaberg and the Dark and Stormy.
Right.
But that's the name of a beer, I take it.
Well, it's a beer. It's the name of a rum. Now, they have a ginger beer as well with no alcohol in it. You add the rum and the ginger beer together, and it makes it Dark and Stormy. You can get the ginger.
I'm gonna try that.
It's delicious. It's delicious. But you can get the ginger, and it's actually getting great distribution. But as far as I can tell, the rum actually doesn't get distributed outside of Australia.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow. How did you come across it?
I did a lot of sailing when I was a gentleman.
Okay. Well, if I ever come by Boston, I'll bring you a bottle of Bundy rum. Now, people are laughing at me in the office.
Great idea. I'll partake in that.
Which rum?
Mount Gay.
Is it Australian? No.
Oh, I definitely like Mount Gay rum, too. That's good stuff.
Okay. See? So you've got, they're not caring about product management, but they're caring about rum.
And Mount Gay sponsors a lot of sailing events in the U.S. as well. So I think they figured out that sailors like to drink.
Just a tad. Oh, and bye, Jen. See you. Good night.
Most of the transcript is readily available, and then we'll go back in and edit it so you can read it from top.
See you, Matt, if I don't speak to you. Nice meeting you online.
Yeah, definitely. Cindy and Adrian, it's really been a pleasure, and I'll look forward to the discussions in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Great to have you. Really enjoyed it. And please come back and talk about your a wealth of information, Matt.
Absolutely.
So, awesome.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you.